here to bring good cheer your way. It's make-believe ballroom time and free to everyone. It's no time to fret, your dial is set for fun. Solitude. Your favorite bands are on the stands, and Mr. Miller puts you in the mood. It's make-believe ballroom time, the hour of sweet romance. Here's your make-believe ballroom. Come on, children, let's dance, let's dance.
Hi folks, I'm Jeff Bressler, turning on the lights of the Make-Believe Ballroom and welcoming you into the Crystal Studio for another program of the great hits of the 1930s and 1940s. I'm hosting the show in the hope of keeping the music and traditions of past hosts Martin Block, Al Jarvis, William B. Williams, and the legendary Steve Allen alive. So let's get this week's singing and dancing ballroom party underway. Hope you're having a great week and ready for the history and sounds of some classic big band swing and jazz favorites. A very interesting Sinatra set coming up a little later with a bag of special treats and twists. And speaking of treats, the King Sisters out of Salt Lake City, they were a popular group who recorded records, sang with big bands, appeared in Hollywood films, and did a number of radio appearances. In 1937, Louise King married guitarist Alvino Ray. Ray formed his own orchestra, and the King Sisters joined. In 1940, they recorded Holy Smoke with Alvino. Music by Royal Marsh, lyrics by Johnny Mercer.
What if I showed up kind of late, coming from another day? Holy smoke, can't you take a joke? You say you saw me with a man that was just my Uncle Dan. Holy smoke, can't you take a joke? And if you wrote to Lee Fairfax, ask her what to do. Bet if you only gave her the bare facts, you'd say, I love you, truly do. I wish a silly talk would cease. Can't an uncle kiss his niece? Holy smoke, can't you take a joke, boy?
Honest, that was really my uncle last night.
Well, since when did Uncle Thornton kissing so right?
Well, he isn't really an uncle. He's sort of a...
Yeah.
Well, holy smoke, can't you take the joke? What about that lipstick on your tie?
Why, honey, that's only cherry pie.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Holy smoke, that's no joke.
Kings went on to become popular TV stars, doing a number of shows, including one I even remember. That was on ABC and called The King Family, where Members of the extended family also performed. Let's move on to some radio. Billy Mills led the Fibber McGee and Molly Radio Show Orchestra for 15 years, starting in the late 1930s. The music was, was always as good as Fibber McGee and Molly were funny. Here's Billy and the orchestra, along with the Kingsmen, doing All the Cats Join In, recorded on the show May 7th, 1946.
Billy Mills Orchestra, the Kingsmen, and All the Cats Join In.
Be right back. You're listening to the Make Believe Ballroom. You can reach me at jeff@retroradioland.com. The Ink Spots, led by the tenor Billy Kenny, were a popular African American vocal group who gained, well, international fame actually in the 30s and 40s. The Ink Spots, as you'll hear in just a couple of moments, were the predecessors of doo-wop. They became so popular that many all-white music venues actually integrated to get them into their lineup, and that was a very rare occurrence in the 1940s. Let's listen to my favorite Ink Spots song, not their most popular, as the song reached 17th on the charts, but the harmonies are amazing, and the lyrics about a love of coffee are really cool. Java Jive, 1940, written by Ben Oakland and Milton Drake.
I love the Java Jive and it loves me. Coffee and tea and the Java and me. A cup, a cup, a cup, a cup, a cup, a cup.
Boy.
I love Java, sweet and hot. Whoops, Mr. Moto, I'm a coffee pot. Shoot me the pot and I'll pour me a shot. A cup, a cup, a cup, a cup, a cup, a cup. Oh, slip me a slug from the wonderful mug. I'll cut a rug till I'm stuck in the jug. A slice of onion and a raw one. Draw one.
Waiter, waiter, percolator. I love coffee. I love tea. I love the Java Jive and it loves me. Coffee and tea and the Java and me. A cup, a cup, a cup, a cup, a cup.
Oh, Boston beans, soybeans, green beans, cabbage and greens. I'm not keen upon a bean. Unless it is the cheery, cheery bean, boy. I love coffee, I love tea.
I love the Java jive and it loves me. Coffee and the tea and the Java and me. A cover, yeah. I love Java, sweet and hot. Whoops, Mr. Moto, I'm a coffee pot. Shoot me the pot, now pour me a shot. A cup.
Yeah.
Oh, throw me that slug from the wonderful mug. I'll cut a rug till I'm snug in the jug. Drop a nickel in a pot, Joe. I take 'em a slow.
Waiter, percolator. I love coffee, I love tea. I love the Java Jive and it loves me.
Friends, that was so nice, let's do it twice. Here's their best-selling record, If I Don't Care. That on the Decca label, written by Jack Lawrence. This record sold over 19 million copies, and even today is currently the eighth or ninth best-selling single of all time.
If I didn't care more than words can say, if I didn't care, would I feel this way? If this isn't love, then why do I thrill? And what makes my head go round and round while my heart stands still? If I didn't care, would it be the same? Would my every prayer begin and end with just your name? And would I be sure that this is love beyond compare? Would all this be true if I didn't care for you?
If I didn't care, honey child, more than words can say. If I didn't care, would I feel this way? Darling, if this isn't love, then why do I thrill so much? And what is it that makes my head go round and round while my heart just stands still so much?
If I didn't care, would it be the same? Would my every prayer begin and end with just your name? And would I be sure that this is love beyond compare? Would all this be true if I didn't care for you?
Gus Arnheim was an early popular band leader. He's noted for writing several songs, with his first hit being I Cried For You in 1923. He was most popular with his orchestra in the 1920s and 1930s. Arnheim had an extended engagement at the iconic Coconut Grove in Los Angeles. I'm going to take you back to the earliest year I cover here in the ballroom, that being 1930. In 1930, when Paul Whiteman was filming The King of Jazz for Universal, Bing Crosby kept on getting into a lot of trouble during the filming, and it ended up with the Rhythm Boys vocal trio that consisted of Crosby, Harry Barris, and Al Rinker deciding not to stay with Whiteman, and they signed up with Arnheim's band. While the Rhythm Boys only recorded one song with Arnheim, Them Their Eyes, it also happened to be the Rhythm Boys' last recording as a group. So let's go spin that historic record. Listening to the Make Believe Ballroom, you can find past broadcasts on the Make Believe Ballroom tab at RetroRadioland.com. I'm always happy to answer your emails. Email me at Jeff@RetroRadioland.com. The great alto sax player Benny Carter was one of the most important and influential band leaders of the swing era. As an arranger, his charts for Fletcher Henderson's big band helped shape the swing style. Benny Carter was virtually around forever. He had an unusually long career that lasted into the 1990s. Here's Benny Carter and his orchestra and their take on Crazy Rhythm. Thank you. One of the lyricists for the vocal version of Crazy Rhythm was Irving Caesar. Among all the great standards written by Caesar, some say T for Two was his best. You judge. Here is Count Basie and Ella Fitzgerald's version. Vince Yeomans joined Caesar on the composition.
Picture me up on your knee, just tea for two and two for tea, just me for you and you for me alone. Nobody near us to see us or hear us, no friends or relations on weekend vacations. We won't have it known, dear, that we own a telephone, dear. We'll break and I'll awake and start to bake a sugar cake for you to take for all the boys to see. A boy for you, a girl for me. Oh, can't you see how happy we would be?
In 1986, the legendary make-believe ballroom host William B. Williams sat down in a jam-packed WNEW studio in New York to interview Frank Sinatra. Williams coined the phrase chairman of the board when talking about Sinatra. I'm going to play part one this week and next week give you the remainder of the interview. William B. Williams, Frank Sinatra, the chairman of the board, spring of 1986.
Ladies and gentlemen, my guest, the chairman of the board, Francis Albert Sinatra. What are all these people doing in our room?
I was just going to ask you the same question. What are these people doing in my room?
Yeah, I see you have with you some charts. Obviously, you're on your way to a rehearsal.
That's a lot of music.
That's a lot of music. You have, over a few years, scribbled on a few charts in your lifetime.
Sure.
You've worked with... Earlier, I posed the question about the big bands that you have recorded with. Obviously, people think of Tommy and Harry James, but you recorded with Basie and with Ellington.
The Spanish Cat.
The Spanish Cat. Antonio Carlos Jobim.
No, he's a Portuguese cat. The guy in Spain. I did a couple of slides with him. Cugat.
Javier Cugat.
And who else did I record with?
Well, of course, beyond the big bands, you have always surrounded yourself, and we've discussed this in past years, Frank. I asked you how vital arrangers were, and you pointed out that people like Don Costa and Nelson Riddle and Gordy Jenkins were all vital, integral
parts. Each man had his own stamp, in a sense, when he did an orchestration. No two of the people with whom I've ever worked, which have been about a dozen of them, I guess, no two of them ever wrote in the same essence, you might say. Mm-hmm. They all had their own little trademark. Jenkins always had the big string section going, and Nelson combined the strings with the trombones and saxophones. And Don Costa was a there's no label on him. He came up with anything you needed, he would write for you. And Billy May, of course, is probably, I think, one of the most ingenious orchestrators with whom I've ever worked. I always felt that Billy May should have been signed by the Disney Company for his whole lifetime. Because he could make any kind of noises you want to make.
Most recently, your most recent album, you worked with Quincy Jones. The album, of course, titled L.A. Is My Lady. Quincy is one of the most sought-after arrangers, musicians, whatever, in the business today.
Well, he's had a lot of success, and obviously success is followed by people who want some more success. They figure that he can help them.
Right.
And Quincy is a most talented man. I've known him and worked with him a long time, many times. He's now become maybe one of the best producers of recordings. And all of the other technicalities about recording. He's so wise to all of that stuff.
When you were doing the recording, that part of the recording session here in New York with Quincy on L.A. Is My Lady, I was at one of the sessions when Michael Jackson came in. And I remember you saying that you better take a picture with him so that your grandchildren, or else you wouldn't be able to go
home.
That's
true. Yeah, that's true.
If you didn't take a picture with Michael Jackson.
I told the kids that, my kids, that Michael might come over to one of the record dates. And they said, we got to have a photograph. And I said, okay, we'll get you a photograph. Well, I guess like most of the youngsters are all pretty wild about Michael.
Yeah.
He's a nice boy. He really is.
I don't think you dance quite the way Michael Jackson does.
No. No, it's not possible. You haven't got those kind of genes to begin with. I was lucky to do what I did with Kelly, let alone with Michael Jackson.
You had a pretty good tutor in Gene Kelly.
Yeah,
though.
Yeah.
This Sunday night, Frank, at Radio City Music Hall, you have gotten unto yourself, you have surrounded yourself with quite a group of talents. And, of course, this is Sinatra 6, the sixth year that you'll be raising money for Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center. I think it's upwards of $11 million so far. This year you have Placido Domingo. Now, Placido Domingo, of course, his work in the operatic area is well known. When you work with a fellow like Placido Domingo or with Luciano Pavarotti, do you sometimes clear your throat and say, what's a kid from Jersey doing with this cat?
Every time. Every time you think to yourself, why am I on the same stage with a man like this? But in the case of Placido, he does enough English music, too, in English. And we should have a lot of opportunities to work together. Whereas with Pavarotti, he has trouble with using the English language. And consequently, what I did was I did the verse of O Solo Mi, and he did the chorus. And we didn't rehearse it at all. We talked it over, and when he hit the first note, he nearly blew me right off the stage. He nearly blew me off the stage. But it's fun for them to work, for the people from the classic world to work with us in the jazz world. They get a big kick out of it, too, as we do working with them. And that particular time, I was having a little problem. I think I told you the story about his
marvelous story.
And he came to Carnegie Hall to see the show. And we were sitting in the dressing room, and I said to Pavarotti, I'm having a little trouble controlling a diminuendo, meaning to close off a note so that it just dies away to like a thin as a butter knife. And I said, I wonder if you could tell me how I could do what I could do about that. He said, just the close of your mouth. What he said. I expected a very big a big dissertation on how you do this thing. He just said, you're just the close of your mouth. If you watch him, that's what he does.
Yeah.
He does that, and then he smiles. And takes out the bed sheet.
Also on the bill with you Sunday night, the gal they call the First Lady of Song, Ella Fitzgerald. I know you've been a Fitzgerald fan for Lowly's many years.
Before she was even Fitzgerald.
Oh, really? Well, she was still Barry. She is... have you ever done an album with Ella?
No, we tried to many times, but there's always the unseen hand that comes in from either side of the fence.
The managers or
the managers,
agents.
The lawyers, the agents, and it always got knocked out. We even tried with Barbara Streisand, and that never came around either, which was too bad. And
I think once with Lena, too, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
But I love working with Ella. We've always had a marvelous time doing it. And she never ceases to amaze me. The instrument is just so marvelous. Her range and her sense of harmonics and different wonderful sounds that she makes.
Part two of that make-believe ballroom interview with the chairman of the board next week. Here's a rare Sinatra. On July 9th, 1939, Sinatra performed a song called Wishing Will Make It So in a live radio broadcast from the Roseland Ballroom in New York City with Harry James and his orchestra. What makes this so interesting is that James and Sinatra never recorded Wishing Will Make It So commercially. So this might be the only place you'll find the James Sinatra number written by Buddy DeSilva.
Thank you. just keep on wishing, and cares will go. All the dreamers tell us dreams come true. It's no mistake, 'cause wishes are the dreams we dream when wide awake. The curtain of night will part. If you are certain within your heart, so if you wish long enough, wish strong enough, you will come to know. Wishing will make it so.
Last week I received an email from a listener asking about Sinatra's first time on record. Lance, I can do you even one better. Here is Sinatra singing for the first time ever on the air or record in the mid-1930s on the Major Bowes Amateur Hour on radio. He was part of an amateur group competing called the Hoboken Four. Listen when Major Bowes asks who speaks for the group. You'll hear it's Frank Sinatra.
We have now the Hoboken Four. They call themselves the Singing and Dancing Fools.
Who speaks for the group?
I will. I'm Frank. We're looking for jobs. How about it?
Everyone that's ever heard us liked it.
Oh, my hair is curly.
The man's got curly hair.
Oh, my teeth are pearly.
And he also has pearly teeth.
Just because. I'll always wear a smile.
Must always wear a smile.
Like to dress up. Folks will shine up to you. Everybody's gonna hide you, do you? You'll make the whole world shine.
You're listening to the Make Believe Ballroom. You can find past broadcasts on the Make Believe Ballroom tab at RetroRadioLand.com. I'm always happy to answer your emails. Email me at Jeff@RetroRadioLand.com. Last week, we featured the drums of the great Louis Belson on the program. I got an email from Roberta asking if I can play a tune recorded by his wife, Pearl Bailey. Well, your Make Believe Ballroom wish is certainly my command. Pearlie Mae Bailey, she was an actress, singer, and comedian. After appearing in vaudeville, Pearl made her Broadway debut in St. Louis Women in 1946. She later won a Tony Award for the title role in the all-black production of Hello, Dolly! In 1968. Her rendition of It Takes Two to Tango hit the top 10 in 1952. Pearlie Mae, as she often called herself, received the Screen Actors Guild Life Achievement Award in 1976 and the Presidential Medal of Freedom on October 17, 1988. I guess with all that activity, it made Pearl Bailey tired, so why not play Tired, written by Doris Fisher?
Tired of the life I lead, tired of the blues I breathe, tired counting things I need, gonna cut out wide, and that's the truth, get a brand new guy while I got my youth, tired. Other clothes I wear, tired of the patches there, tired of the crows I scare, gonna truck downtown and spin my mood, get some short vamp shoes and a new guy too, washing and a tubbing, cleaning and a scrubbing, sure leaves my glamour with a scar. A mending and a mopping, a starching and a shopping, Don't make me look like no Hedy Lamarr. Tired of the tears I shed, tired of living in the rain, tired of the same old bed. Gonna lead the life of Cindy Lou, gonna do the things that I know she'd do, 'cause I'm tired, mighty tired of you. I guess by now, brother, you have the general idea. I am tired. There's no need of me kidding myself. Maybe you're all right, but I'm just tired. I think I'll go to a psychiatrist, one of them rich people, doctors, you know? And I guess he'll tell me a lot of big words all about psychiatrics and metaphysics and a whole lot of stuff I don't understand. Wonder how much he'll charge me for that. Whatever he charges, he'll probably end up saying the same thing. Pearl, you're just tired. I guess I better go to a plain doctor so he can tell me what I need. In fact, I know what I need. I need a little change so I can lead the life of Cindy Lou and do the things that I know she do, 'cause I'm tired, mighty tired of you.
So I think on the ballroom, I'm going to hit you with another solo artist. During the Depression, Gus Kahn and his main collaborator, Walter Donaldson, composed When My Ship Comes In. It was a song about better times and let folks beaten down by the Depression have a time to close their eyes and dream. It was first recorded by Rudy Valli, but my all-time favorite is this Kate Smith version.
Wearing shoes that no one
never wore before. I'll phone to each department store and say, call up your Santa Claus and raise his pay, and tell him we'll have Christmas every day when my ship comes in.
The Muskrat Ramble is a jazz composition written by Kid Orley way back in 1926. It was first recorded on February 26th of that year by Louis Armstrong and his Hot Five, and became Louis' most frequently recorded piece. The song became a prominent part of the Dixieland revival in the 1930s and 40s, and was highly recorded by the likes of Lionel Hampton, Woody Herman, Chet Atkins, the Andrews Sisters, Harry James, and trumpeter Al Hurt. My favorite version, though, was done by Jack Teagarden. Teagarden was the top American jazz trombone player before the bebop era of the 40s, and one of the era's best jazz singers also. Teagarden's early career was as a sideman with the likes of Paul Whiteman and his lifelong friend Louis Armstrong. So since Armstrong first recorded the song, it also became a Teagarden favorite. Here's Jack Teagarden and his orchestra live at the Royal Room in Los Angeles in 1951 with the Muskrat Rambler.
Thank you.
You've got to love those live ballroom recordings versus a studio cut when the engineering was as good as it was on that location in Los Angeles. Hey, you know, the hour flew by. I had so much more lined up, but the clock on the Crystal studio wall here in the make-believe ballroom says it's time to go. I'll keep the turntables warm, though, so that we can pick up where we left off next week. I'm so grateful for the emails I've received at jeff@retroradioland.com. I'm doing the ballroom not only to play some wonderful music, but to talk to you and give you a little background to all the songs I play and why they're a significant part of the landscape of the top music of the 1930s and 1940s. Let's close things out with the great Jimmy Durante in person singing a fitting song, Good Night. See you folks next week.
Good night, good night, good night. It's time to say good night. Good night, good night, good night. What more is there to say? We've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo. Ak revo, ak weedazane, and ink-a-dink-a-doo. Good night, good night, good night. Good night, good night.